Hi everyone, welcome to another edition, a Masters-themed edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Balanchi. Thanks for joining us. You can get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, or on Twitter, @RyanBalanchi. All of my work is at Yahoo Sports' Devil Ball Golf Blog, or on sports.yahoo.com, or as well at GolfNewsNet and GolfNewsNet.com. This week's show is obviously a Masters preview show. We're recording this on a Tuesday. We're bringing it to you on a Wednesday on the eve of the Masters, and the Par 3 contest is ongoing right now, and the coverage should be about to hit ESPN shortly. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the last-minute preparations that a lot of you are probably making either at your golf clubs or with your friends that are also golf fans or with your bookie or whatever. But you're probably making some Masters wagers between now and the start of the tournament tomorrow if you haven't already. So we wanted to bring someone on through our partners at BetDSI.com, who are the presenting sponsors of our podcast, to talk about the Masters and Masters odds. And what better person than to have someone who has played in the Masters tournament and is still a very, very accomplished golfer, and that's Clark Burrows. Clark Burrows is the former NCAA men's individual champion from Ohio State in 1985, excuse me. And he also reached the semifinal round of the U.S. Amateur in 1983. Which earned him a spot back then into the 1984 Masters. He made the cut, played all four rounds, and had some really awesome stories to share about his Masters experience, about playing the golf course, and also we got into a whole bunch of different talk about lines and where guys think they're finishing this week in the context of odds, but also in the golf tournament as well. So regardless of whether or not you're a bettor or care about that, we give great analysis, I think, and Clark has some wonderful anecdotes and stories about playing in this tournament as well with a number of the game's best from even a bygone era. So we had a great conversation. We'll leave that to you, and then we'll come back.
All right, Clark. So first of all, you're an NCAA individual men's champion from Ohio State. You've played in the Masters Golf Tournament. You played there in 1984. You made the cut. You played all four rounds. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a history of your experience at Augusta National, some of the stories that you have from playing there, and just the overall feeling of your Masters experience?
Absolutely. I was fortunate enough to finish in the semifinals of the U.S. Amateur near Chicago. Now they only take the winner and the runner-up, but back in the day they took semifinalists. So I qualified for the Masters. We're playing a tournament, college tournament, in Huntington, West Virginia. And this is the weekend before the Masters. So a teammate of mine, Chris Perry, you may have heard of him. He was a hell of a player. He also qualified for the Masters. So we had two Buckeyes qualify for the Masters that year. And so we drive down from Huntington. We finished the college tournament on a Sunday. So we're driving to Augusta all night. So we get to a hotel, check in. Must have been about 1 in the morning. Of course, at the crack of dawn, we're up, and we want to go ahead to the Augusta, you know, check in. So we're one of the first ones to check in. I can't remember exactly. I think it opened up at 7 a.m. We're there at 6:45. We're ready, you know.
Yeah.
So who's there but Jack Nicklaus? Okay, and people don't know this, but when you register, the numbers on the caddies, bibs, that's how they registered. So if you registered number one, if you were the first in line, you get number one. If you wait till the end and get 81, that's the numbers on the bib. People don't really know that, but that's how you get your number. But also, you get a pin, okay, to wear, a player's pin. Mm-hmm. So we're like one of the first in line. So Jack Nicklaus, who is also a Buckeye, was in front of me. Four guys were in front of me, and I'm to get number five. Well, he was supposed to get number five, but he let me pass. Well, why do you think he let me pass to get pin number five? Because he already had five Masters, and he wanted number six. So you'd have to say that the greatest player of all time was a little superstitious, wouldn't you?
So I wonder if he kept going for number six and did it in 86.
Well, the reason he let me pass him in line, I didn't really understand it at first, but I did after, because I got pin number five.
Yep.
Well, he already had five Masters, right? He won his sixth in 86. So he was a little superstitious, I think.
But then, were you superstitious at all? I mean,
no,
are you a superstitious player? No.
No, not really, not at all. But it, obviously the greatest player of all time was.
Yeah.
So then we're scrambling around. You know, I'm hanging with Chris Perry, but I kind of want to go on my own. And so we get a practice round. I mean, we're going to play within an hour. You know, we already registered 7 in the morning. So we get a practice round with another Buckeye, John Cook.
Mm-hmm.
So three of us play that day. And I wasn't really that nervous then. I mean, I was just in awe of the course and the putting green and, you know what I mean? I think I putted my first putt right off the green, you know, on number one. Easy to do, though. But the next day, I arranged a practice round with Ben Crenshaw and Nathaniel Crosby. He was an amateur, too. He was a buddy of mine, Nate. I called him Nate. He was the grandson of Bing Crosby. And he was a good player, too. He won the U.S. Amateur. I forget what year. So he arranged a practice round with Ben Crenshaw, myself, and Nathaniel Crosby. And guess who won that tournament that week?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Crenshaw.
Uncle Ben.
And let me tell you, Ryan, he would line up 3 20-footers. He'd make two and lip out one. I'd try the same putt, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to two-putt. You know what I mean? So we had a good time, and, you know, his caddy was a famous caddy, Carl Jackson.
Yeah.
He caddied for him, like, I don't know, 30 years, I think. And so Ben ended up winning that week, and that was I learned a lot playing in the pro. I mean, he's the thing people don't realize about Augusta is the uneven lies that you get. It looks pretty flat on TV, but let me tell you, there's not one flat shot out there. You're hitting downhill, uphill, side hill, off your head. You know, it's brutal. So that was a good experience.
Are there things that you learned from that week that you still use now playing golf?
Well, not really, because I'm not really competitive anymore.
Sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I play a lot of golf, and I like to play. I like the action. You know, the golf's the greatest game of all because, you know, if you're a 10 handicap and I'm a 0, we can have a game. We can have an even game. But not really. I guess I matured that week. The par 3 tournament, I played with Bernard Langer.
Nice.
And Bernard Langer shows up in the par 3, and he doesn't even have his full bag. He has 4 clubs. He didn't even bring his big tour bag. He just brought, like, I think 4 or 5 clubs. And I think he won the par 3 with 5 clubs.
And then he won the next year.
Did he win the next year?
Yeah, he won in 85, what, 94, is that right? Yeah, 85, 94, because General Ben won in 95.
Was that Langer's first Masters then, in 85?
You know, that's a good question. I'd have to look back at that. But
I'm not sure when he won. But let me tell you, when he did win, whatever year it was, he put Scotty Cameron on the map. You know that famous putters now, Scotty Cameron? Well, Bernard Langer is the one that first used that, and if he wouldn't have won that Masters, Scotty Cameron, you know, would have taken him a little longer.
Very interesting. He's
the one that put Scotty Cameron. Let me tell you, I heard the story. They had a guy sitting outside the gates at Augusta. This is Scotty Cameron. They only had like 5 putters made, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to get these pros to use these putters, right? Well, Bernard Langer did, and he won, and the rest is history.
Wow. How about that?
Scotty Cameron then was on his own, right? So if I've got like 3 or 4 original Scotty Camerons that don't say Titleist on them. uh-huh. and they're worth a lot of money. But then Titleist yeah. isn't stupid, so they signed him, and all the putters nowadays say Scotty Cameron Titleist, right?
Right.
Well, back in the day, Bernard Langer was responsible for making Scotty Cameron rich.
How about
basically.
That?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's a good story.
Yeah. But what do you think, let me pick your brain a little. What do you think the high score of the week will be?
For
now, you
got to
remember, there's amateurs, there's old guys like Larry Mize and Sandy Lyle.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young kid here from Costa Rica, Paul Chaplet.
Yeah.
He's 16. Yeah. How do you think he's going to do? What do you think the high score will be? It's supposed to be windy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It's supposed to be tricky, and it's supposed to be cold a couple days.
Yeah, I'm thinking, because I think the over-under number is somewhere in the 82, 82.5 range. So
hey,
I
you did
the,
your homework.
Oh, yeah. I know some of my prop bets.
So I have to go over.
I would take over. With, like you said, the wind, old guys. You could have one of the amateurs just have a terrible day, kind of cold. They're going to make it a little tougher this year because Jordan Spieth tore it up. I think like 85 is the high round of the week.
I do too. I agree 100%. I think that's a good one to get down on. What about the low score of the tournament? It's 65.5.
Whoa.
I have to go over.
You could get a 65, but I don't think you could do better than 65. But I would take the over. I would take the over.
I mean, the reason I like all the overs in these is because, like you said, it's going to be gusty. It's going to be tricky. Like you said, they don't want somebody busting up their course like Jordan Spieth did.
Right.
You know, they want somebody winning this tournament 7-8 under.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would be happy with a 7-8, 9 under winner. They could take 10, but they don't want 14, 15 like we've had the last 3-4 years. I think they want to bring it back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Ryan. Here, let me ask you this. The par 3 tournament, they've got a golf prop up for this. Over 21.5. That's 6
okay,
under
so
par.
That's 6 under par, basically.
I'm going over that.
Yeah, I would think most years it's probably 22 or 23 strokes that win. So I would take, I take the over. That's a tough one, but I would take the over.
I don't think that's a tough one. In order for you to lose, a guy's got to make 6 birdies and 3 pars.
Right, or have an ace and 4 birdies.
Yeah,
which could happen.
Yeah. So
but
that's
nonetheless,
a tough one.
That's a pretty sharp golf on a golf course that has some funnels, but it's not that easy.
I remember when I played in that par 3, I was clearing the gallery out. You'd have a 90-yard shot. You have a 90-yard shot, and if you hit it 101, you're in the gallery, you know?
Yeah, and the greens, I don't think people realize this watching the par 3 contest on TV. Those greens are nothing like the size of Augusta National Golf Club normal greens. They're like a third the size. So the target
and they
is
have
really
big old,
small.
Big old slopes in them, too.
Yeah. They're
I mean, one mid-shot, you might make a bogey.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, if one guy, if you make a bogey, you're not shooting 21.
No, you have to have a perfect card, basically.
No, I don't get it.
No squares.
I just think with the temperature, I think all those are good plays to go on the over.
All right, so let's get away from the prop bets, and let's talk about the 72-hole tournament. I mean, it feels like a year where there's, like, chalk all over the place because everybody at the top of the rankings is playing really well. But that also means it's kind of hard to, A, get some value, and, B, find a guy that almost seems like a guy that should break out. So who are the guys that you like, especially this week?
Well, I mean, other than the chalk?
Yeah.
Well, with the chalk, let me just go with, I like Mark Leishman.
That's a good call.
I think he's becoming a world-class player. You know, he came up short in the Open Championship. I'd have to say he's kind of a sleeper, under-the-radar player.
Yeah.
I don't know his history that well at Augusta, but he's got a
pretty
good,
well,
he's got a great short game, one of the best. He's got one of the best short games that no one knows about. I mean, yeah, he gets it up and down all the time, man. What about Bello? Rafi?
Yeah, he's playing with house money.
He's never played there before, though. That's big,
right,
Ryan. I mean, you know what? This is like one of the few tournaments where only like six guys can win.
Yeah, I think. Someone asked me yesterday, like, hey, you think there are like 65, 70 guys who could win because you rule out the amateurs, you rule out the old guys and the past champions. I was like, yeah, I mean, conceivably, but really you have like 12 guys who could win. And
yeah,
inside those 12 guys, there are like five guys. And especially because of this year. I mean, most years you could have like 15 guys who could win. This year it seems like it's a really small pool of guys.
But you know what? What might make it more is that the weather. You remember when the weather was cold, Zach Johnson won. Remember?
Yeah.
When they had the frost delay?
Was it one over?
He's not going to win again there. It's like the year Mike Weir won. Okay?
Right.
But every other year it's big hitters that win with the course changes now.
Yeah, you got to be at least 295 off the tee to really have a chance. If the weather...
If the weather gets bad, that'll put more players in the picture, I think.
Right, guys can lay up on par fives and still do okay if they play them efficiently,
right,
you know.
Uh-huh. Let me think here. I don't really like... I don't think Jordan... I'll tell you one guy who's not going to win. Okay? And everybody likes him. Okay? He's the favorite this week. Is Jason Day. He's not going to win, Ryan. Let me tell you why he's not going to win. Okay?
All right.
He's won two in a row, right?
Yep.
Okay, do you know how hard it is to win three in a row?
It doesn't happen really often.
It's happened 25 times since 1923.
Holy cow.
Okay, the last guy to do it was in 2014, McIlroy. But before that, it was Vijay Singh in 2004. Jack Nicklaus did it one time in his whole life. Okay, what's amazing is Tiger Woods won seven in a row once. He won six in a row another time, five in a row another time, four in a row another time, and he did it three times in a row three times.
Gosh,
that goes to show you how good that Tiger Woods was.
And add to Jason Day that he's apparently sick. I mean, I don't know what.
That guy plays mind games. Okay. How about last week at the match play? After the first round, he couldn't do an interview because his back was such excruciating pain. Come on. You know what I mean?
He was kind of playing it up a little bit.
And what did he do? How did he do? Well, it's match play. He plays two rounds a day. He didn't have a back problem. He won the tournament. If you have a back, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play tomorrow. Then he calls out Jordan Spieth, right? Says, Spieth, he's got to slow it down. He's getting burned out. He's playing mind games, Ryan. How about when he plays match play, he doesn't give any putts? Pissed off Paul Casey a year ago. He's sick, right? So now he says he's sick.
Says he's lost 11 pounds over the last week or two or whatever.
Yeah, well... He can play all the mind games. I like Jason Day, but he has a way of playing mind games with the other players.
But do you think that kind of thing even works on these guys? I mean, obviously.
Well, it did last week because he won the match play.
Well, that's true.
Two weeks ago or whatever.
That's true.
But he will not win.
I just can't see it. For that reason, I can't see it happening. It's hard to win three in a row, like you said. And that statistic, I'd never heard of. That's pretty staggering that it's only happened, what you said, 25 times in basically 90 years?
Yeah. And, Byron Nelson did it. he won 11 in a row, and he only did it one other time.
Yeesh.
Sam did it one time.
Wow, really? Just one?
Jack Nicklaus, one time.
So we're asking Jason Day to do something that hardly anybody's ever done, and hardly anybody's ever done more than once.
He's not going to do it. I'm telling you, not going to win.
All right, so you rule out Jason Day for that statistical reason. That makes some sense. How about Rory McIlroy? What do you think of his chances?
Well, I don't like his chances either. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Shoots 65 one day and 75 the next.
Yeah.
Not going to get it done. Plus, yesterday I was watching live at the Masters, and he was doing this putting drill where he'd put up tees 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet. Hell, he couldn't hit 50% of them, Ryan.
That's not good.
No. Even the announcer said, boy, he better putt better than that. Well, it's only Monday. Well, let me tell you something. He was missing three. I'm telling you, he wasn't making 50% of them. And then he was shaking his head like it was breaking the wrong way. I don't like him either. I don't like any of those guys. I don't like Spieth either.
Yeah, I think Spieth's under too much pressure, and he's too worn out, and that's just not going to hold up.
I would stay away from Spieth, Day, and McIlroy. I like Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
He wins in even years, like the San Francisco Giants. Phil Mickelson, guess what? He's got two majors. Guess what years they happened on? Even-numbered years.
Yeah, 4, 6,
I like
and 10.
That. Huh?
4, 6, and 10 are his green jackets.
There you go, baby. 4, 6, 10, and 16.
There you go. That's it.
He's like 20-1 or something still.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I mean, he could have won two tournaments already. The career builder could have won a Pebble. I know he got rid of, he choked him both away, but whatever. And then he almost had Doral at the end. So he's been in three tournaments this year, and no one's giving him any kind of respect.
Except you and me.
Right. I mean, I've told people who will listen. You might want to look at Phil Mickelson as your value pick this week because he's playing great golf on a golf course he loves. I mean, and it's 30 years since Nicklaus did his thing in 86. Phil's almost 46. He'll do that in June. I mean, come on. How amazing would that be?
Stars are aligned, and let me tell you, Phil Mickelson believes in the stars.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's got a chart, man.
Does he really?
I have some buddies that play with him once in a while, and he really believes in the astrology.
He's a numerology kind of guy, too? Is that it?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah. He likes all that stuff, and let me tell you, it's like we just talked about right here. Everything's aligned up for him.
Yeah, sometimes that's a little bit of a placebo effect, You think everything's lined up for you, and it does.
I believe in that.
So
he's kind of coming in under the radar, too.
Yeah, everybody's talking about all the young guys, Bubba and Adam Scott, and you got like 6 or 7 or 8 guys that are kind of top of mind before Mickelson, and all of a sudden, he'll be a winner on Sunday.
I think he might, and they've got him at top 16.5. Do you think he'll finish in the top 16.5?
I feel like it's a lock. I would take that, yeah.
Even money. You can get Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson top 16.5. I like them all.
Yeah, Justin Rose has been in the top 15, the last 4 years in a row.
I know. And what about these two? What about Zach Johnson, top 32.5?
Now, that's interesting. I mean, he's playing good golf. But I feel like, especially like we talked about, if the weather stays as forecast, pretty lousy, then I think that plays to Zach Johnson's favor.
I do, too. Plus the fact, in this tournament, you have to look at past winners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at people that have played there a ton. All right, they know all where to land the ball. where to keep the ball. I think that's a good one. And here's one I like too. Hunter Mahan over 40 and a half. Hunter Mahan can't. I think maybe I would go play him these days. He can't play a lick.
Not playing good at all. Yeah, he can't even hit the side of a barn with a driver. So
I mean, yeah, what you're really betting on is if he makes the cut or not, right?
Yeah,
only
at
that point. How many guys make the cut? Like 45 in ties or something?
Yeah, and the 10-shot rule, which, I mean, guys are probably a little bit more bunched up, but.
Do they still have that 10-shot rule?
I believe they still have the 10-shot rule.
Right.
I think they're the only major with the 10-shot rule, but.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think he's going to make the cut. I think he's playing terrible golf. He has no business even contending.
Yeah, you agree with all of these then. What about this one? What do you think Charles Schwartzel will finish?
What's his
28 and a half.
I would take better than 28 and a half. He's won three times since November. Well, how would you not take that? And he won the Valspar, which is a ball striker's course. He's striking the ball pretty well.
Even if he doesn't putt worth beans, he can still finish that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got enough power in the tank that he could.
I think those are all too high.
Top.
See, I would have that Mickelson at like 12 and a half.
Yeah, that would make it a little bit more difficult. I mean, top 16 and a half seems so easy.
For Rose and Dustin. Now, what about Hideki Matsuyama and Sergio Garcia under or over 26 and a half? I like the under in those.
I like Hideki there. Sergio is such a wild. I mean, he plays the Masters typically well, though, even if he's in kind of iffy form.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great ball
striker. I would play those, yeah. I would play better.
I know it. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, this doesn't make any sense. Give me Phil Mickelson. I thought it'd be like 12 and a half, something like that.
But at some point, not everyone can finish in the top 26. So we got to find somebody who can't finish in the top 26.
But those six can.
Oh, certainly. I mean, those seem like no-brainers. I mean, those are good ones.
Right.
The one prop that I thought was really interesting was Spieth, McIlroy, and Day versus the field. And I feel like I would take the field every day. I mean, you get 86 guys to take on Spieth, McIlroy, and Day.
But you got to lay like 250, right?
Yeah, that's true. If you can get
like
in a,
laying that.
Yeah, but then you get plus 230, I think it is, on the big
three. I don't like that. I saw they had a couple, three guys in a couple of them.
Okay.
You know, like Spieth, Day, and Fowler or something.
Yeah, if you could get kind of one clear weak link, I think it's a more likely bet that you go for.
Mm-hmm. Who do you like to win it?
I like Bubba. The whole sinus infection thing he had yesterday kind of makes me worry. He didn't practice on Monday. Not that he needs to. I mean, he knows how to play the golf course. So long as he feels pretty well. I think the good news for him is it's supposed to rain on Thursday in the morning, which means it'll kill whatever pollen's out there, whatever's messing with his allergies, and hopefully that'll make him feel pretty good on Thursday. It's cool the rest of the week in the 60s, so there shouldn't be a ton of allergens. So if he should play okay,
that's
the whole
a good
week.
Point.
I mean, if you're worried about the sinus infection now, it should go away by Thursday, and the weather should work out to his favor. So
I don't think it's an issue.
What's his juice? Was it 9-1, 10-1?
If you would have bet him earlier, you could have got like 18-1, but he's down like 11-1.
12-1's not bad on a two-time Masters champion. I mean, I feel like you got to load up on the champions between Adam Scott
and
Bubba Watson.
Yeah, what about Angel Cabrera?
See, he's probably going to be at 80, 90?
200-1.
Really?
It's worth putting $10 on.
I mean, he's not playing good golf whatsoever, but that's how
he
won his major championships. So he just shows up one week, and all of a sudden he blasts everybody, and he wins.
What about a few years ago when he lost to Adam Scott?
Yeah. I mean, he could have had a second Masters. And
oh yeah, he could have it. And he was playing with beans going in.
Yep, and all of a sudden there he is. There's El Pato. And by the way, Oakmont this year for the U.S. Open, another El Pato major. So
yeah,
something to consider.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe when U.S. Open or before, maybe we'll do it TPC. I'll have you on my show, and we can discuss that. We should be on each other's show every now and once a month.
I would love that, and I love the players because it is so hard to get right. The Masters, you feel like, yeah, you probably got a good idea who's going to finish in the top 20 today. But at the Players, it's really hard to predict.
Yeah, I played in the second-to-last group on Sunday at the Players.
And what was that feeling like?
I played with two Hall of Famers, Tom Kite and Hale Irwin. Okay. Hale Irwin hits two shanks and makes birdies on both the holes.
Jeez.
First hole, he hits a shitty drive. Pardon my language. Bad drive. Then he shanks a 3-iron he had to hit in and then chips in for birdie. So then we get to number 8, and it's that long par 3, brutal hole.
Long par 3.
He's hitting another 2 or 3 iron, skanks it to the right, barely gets it over the water, chips that in. So then we get to number 10, Ryan, and I shoot like 38. It was tough conditions. Get to number 10, I got a 6-footer for par, tough little hole. And it's real windy, and they're having the blowers out to blow the leaves off the green that week. So I'm hitting about a 6 or 7-footer, and it's rolling about 4 inches from the hole. It's going in. This leaf from Mars comes rolling in and hits my ball offline.
Oh.
So I missed the putt, and I looked at this Tom Kite, and I said, "Geez, have you ever seen anything like that, you know?" He didn't have much to say, but, and I'll tell you, those two, I don't think those two really got along that well, because I felt like, you know, with the rain that we were playing threesomes, all right, the last day. Normally you'd play twosomes, but it felt like they were having their own little competitive battle. You know what I mean? That's the, the vibe that I got. And they were nice guys, you know, and then I got to the 17th hole and I chunked it in the water. Made double, got it up and down from the grandstands on 18, I remember, and finished like tied for 16th with Greg Norman.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that TPC week.
Yeah, we'll do that story.
But I've got a million, and let me tell you, before we leave, I want to tell you that you're the one that, put it this way. Before, I have my own show, but I didn't even know what a podcast was before. And I started listening to you and your show, and I said, well, this guy's pretty smooth. I think he's done it more than a couple times. And so you didn't even know it, but you're kind of like my mentor. You're the kind of the guy I listen to, and I say, okay, well, try to learn. You know, it's like golf. You try to emulate somebody to get better, right?
That's right.
That's right.
So that's what I do on my show. My show is Golf Undigested. I came up with a catchy name. I put the golf, and then I put digest for Golf Digest, right? And then I added a U-N and an E-D on the end, Golf Undigested. But you're the one that... Yeah? Yeah, it's a little different than your show. Yours is... I kind of go into the gambling aspects of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know your stuff, and you do your homework, and you watch enough golf that you have a good memory, and you offer up some good stats, you know, who won this. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you for being on your show. And what else you want to talk about? I could talk all day about golf.
Well, we'll save some of that for Players Week, because I love the idea. We'll do it together. Maybe we can do a dual podcast. We'll put them both out together. a shared episode for the players. I think that would be awesome. So let's do it again in a month, or I guess less than a month, whenever the heck the players is.
When is the players? In May, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in May. I'll remember the specific dates this year with the Olympics and all that stuff, but I think it's basically a month from now. So we'll make it a date and we'll record it again.
Yeah, it's fun talking about this. So let me get it straight now. Who's your picks? I'll give you three picks. You got to give me your two horses and a sleeper, and then I'll give you mine, and then we'll go get on with our day.
All right, my horses are Bubba and Phil. My sleeper is Andy Sullivan.
Smiley Sullivan?
Yeah.
I call him Smiley Sullivan on my show because he smiles a lot.
All the time, yeah.
The only problem with him is he hits a high cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so does
I understand.
But you never know.
You never know. That's right.
And I tell you what, you stole my thunder because I like Phil and Bubba. We both agree on that. If I was taking two players, I don't know, that Adam Scott I like too, but I'd have to take Bubba and Phil. And I already gave you my sleeper. It'd be that Mark Leishman.
I like it. All right, well, everybody head over to betdsi.com. You can check out the full odds, all the props we talked about. You can see all those there too. And then get your betting pool together, get your Masters party together between today and Wednesday, make your picks, and go make some cash.
Absolutely, yeah. That's sort of, and hey, we offered up some nice prop bets there for everyone.
Yeah, this is the one tournament a year where the prop bet is actually fun. The rest of the year, not quite as fun. But the Masters prop bet, that's where it's at.
Yeah, it's fun stuff, and you know, to see if somebody's going to shoot higher than 82.5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we might be on 90 watch at Oakmont. We might have someone shoot 90 at Oakmont, so we'll talk about that then. But
yeah, I would have to say it'd have to be closer to 85 there, right?
Yeah, at a minimum, might be 86, 87, because it'll be so stinking hard.
Oh, plus it's a U.S. Open, so you've got, like, amateurs playing. Oh, man, I'm going over 90.
It could be a 90 for sure. All right. But next time we talk, we'll do players, and after that we'll get everyone ready for Oakmont. So Clark,
We might have to do it before then.
We may have to. We got plenty of stories to tell.
Yes, I do.
So thank you for sharing your Masters stories. They're awesome. Can't wait to talk players with you next month. This is great. Thanks so much.
Okay, Ryan, you have a lovely day. Talk at you later.
Thanks to Clark for being a part of the show. It was absolutely a blast to talk to him. As I mentioned, we're going to do this again around the Players Championship, and we will probably do it around each of the remaining majors of the calendar year. We'll also have another podcast around the Masters, again, assuming that my wife, who is 9-plus months pregnant, doesn't go into labor between now and Sunday when she's due. We hope to do a podcast between the first and second rounds just to kind of prep what we're expecting to see over the course of the weekend and talk about what's happening at Augusta National as the tournament unfolds. So again, thanks to Clark Rose for being a part of the show. Thanks for you listening to it. If you have a chance and you listen to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review on our page on iTunes, or send us your comments and thoughts at Ryan Ballingy on Twitter and Ryan at the Golf News Net by email. So next week, I'll probably have a new baby, and they'll probably be crying, but gosh darn it, we're going to produce a post-Masters podcast for you, talk about whatever it is that happened over the course of the next 4 days at Augusta National. We cannot wait to see it, and to be truthful, I can't wait for the new addition in my family's life more than that, but hopefully we'll be able to get a chance to watch both in succession over the next 4 days, at least for me personally. You don't want to watch that, at least the birthing part of it. So, until next week when we have a Masters champion, whoever that may be, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thanks so much for being a part of the show, and we'll catch you next time, next week, post-Masters.